Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, we're going to be discussing the complete turnaround in the race for the Democrat presidential nomination that has taken place. You've seen a lot of surprises because the Democrats are so dissatisfied with the field of pathetic candidates that they have. Their candidates are pathetic or a joke. And they're so dissatisfied that they've turned to one front runner after another and dumped one candidate after another, and things have turned around over and over again. It started out that Joe Biden was the front runner. He, for the first 2 or 3 years of Trump's presidency in all the polls, was the front runner to be the Democrat presidential nominee in 2020. And then Elizabeth Warren became the front runner. But she was exposed as a complete phony and a fraud and a liar, and people got turned off with her. And she didn't have any answers to questions about her expensive plans, and so they got turned off with her. Then we saw Bernie Sanders emerge, and Pete Buttigieg, and all these other pathetic candidates emerge. Now, because of the South Carolina primary, and following that Super Tuesday, Joe Biden suddenly has become the favorite. He has suddenly become the front runner for the Democrat presidential nomination because the Democrat establishment, in other words, the money people, the billionaires and the money people and the powerful people and the news media, corporate elite, have united behind Joe Biden. And they united to bring down Bernie Sanders because they felt that Bernie Sanders as a socialist could not defeat Donald Trump. And so they united against Bernie Sanders, and they united to give the victory to Joe Biden, whom they felt would be a safer choice. I don't know if that's true, by the way, because Joe Biden is senile, among other things. He's senile, and he's the most gaffe-prone candidate that I think will ever be nominated by a major party in history. But they decided to unite behind Biden, and Biden won 10 out of the 14 Super Tuesday contests last Tuesday. And he won overwhelmingly in South Carolina. And so Biden is suddenly the new hot commodity. And it now looks like, unless Biden really screws things up because of his big mouth and his senile behavior, unless he really screws things up, it really looks like Biden will be the Democrat nominee. It looks that way. I'm not counting Bernie Sanders out. Bernie Sanders could still emerge as the candidate again if Biden screws up. If something goes wrong and Biden screws up. But right now, the odds-on favorite is Joe Biden. And so we, as supporters of Israel, and Israel is our issue because Israel is the number one issue for Jews and for Gentiles. It is the number one issue in the world. It is the issue that decides whether or not the world progresses or the world goes backwards. God determines the destiny of nations and civilizations based upon what happens to his people, Israel, and to his Zionist enterprise in the land of Israel. That's what decides the destiny of world history. And so Israel is our issue and our focus. It's our number one issue. And we're going to explain why Joe Biden is so anti-Israel and so anti-Semitic and such a disaster for Israel. Not that Donald Trump is good for Israel. He's not. The Trump so-called peace plan would be a catastrophe for Israel, would create a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestinian people, and there never has been in history. There is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. That's the biggest historic hoax and lie in history. But giving up the biblical heartland of Israel, which the Trump so-called peace plan does, would be suicidal for Israel. However, Biden's plan for the Middle East would be even worse because Biden's plan has a much higher chance of being accepted by the Arab Nazis who want to destroy Israel. Right now, the Arab Nazis in Ramallah and in Gaza are rejecting the Trump plan. Baruch Hashem, thank God. God is giving us Arab enemies that are so stupid that they're rejecting a plan that really would cripple Israel and endanger Israel and build a tunnel connecting Judea and Samaria with Gaza, Israel would be cut in half by a huge tunnel which the Arab terrorists could use to carry out all types of attacks on Israel. Every Arab terrorist with a shoulder-fired missile could shoot down Israeli planes at Natbag, at the Israeli airport. Every single home, every single community in Israel would be within the range of Arab artillery fire if this plan went forward of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump's plan is terrible, but the Arabs so far, Baruch Hashem, are rejecting it. At least the Arab terrorists in Fatah and in Hamas are rejecting it. Joe Biden's plan would be to offer the Arabs an Israel more or less within the pre-1967 borders. That's something that most Arabs will accept, God forbid. So that would really, really be a catastrophe to have Biden in the White House doing that. Also, Biden is someone who will follow the Democrat model of pressuring Israel relentlessly to accept this insane plan. Now, Biden would use, if Joe Biden became president, he would use the Trump so-called peace plan as a starting point. He would say, that's the starting point, but we're going to add now to it. We're going to give the Arabs more incentives in order to convince them to join the negotiations, and we're going to try to bring them in by offering them by offering them Eastern Jerusalem as their capital, by offering them again pre-67 Israel, which means that Israel would be in borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. That was the Obama Biden administration plan. We already know what Biden's so-called peace plan is because the Obama Biden administration, when Biden was vice president under Obama, already offered their plan. John Kerry, the Jew hater, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. John Kerry, the Jew hater, and the two Jew haters, the Muslim Nazi Barack Hussein Osama and his vice president, the senile Joe Biden, they already offered a plan to get Israel to go to the pre-1967 suicidal borders. They already told Israel that Israel has to commit complete suicide and go back to borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. They already put that plan on the table and John Kerry came to the Middle East and came back and forth and met with Netanyahu and met with the Arab Hitler, Mahmoud Abbas, and was flying back and forth and doing what they call shuttle diplomacy to try to impose this plan on Israel. John Kerry was doing this repeatedly during the Obama administration, obsessively. They obsessively were pressuring Israel to commit suicide. And let's understand something. We've had three Democrat presidents since the 1967 Six-Day War. Since the 1967 Six-Day War, the miracle of the 1967 Six-Day War, every administration has sought to get Israel to give up everything that they won in the 67 War and commit suicide and go back to suicidal pre-67 borders. Every president, Democrat and Republican. But Democrat presidents have been especially brutal and obsessive in their pressure when it comes to this. Some Republican presidents have also been. George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., was brutal in his pressure on Israel and was just as anti-Israel as the worst anti-Israel Democrat. And Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, they were brutal in their pressure on Israel, just as bad as any anti-Israel Democrat. But we had Ronald Reagan during most of his administration. He basically ignored the Middle East and didn't bother. So that's good for Israel when they ignore the Middle East. That means no pressure on Israel. And you had a long period during George W. Bush, George Bush Jr., George W. Bush's administration, where he pretty much was ignoring the Middle East and not pushing his plan. So we've had times with Republican presidents where, because of the influence of evangelical Christians and others in the Republican Party who support Israel, because of their influence, they have laid off of Israel and have not pressured Israel, or have not pressured Israel vigorously. And that makes them preferable in some cases, it makes them preferable to Democrat presidents. Among the Democrats, we've had three presidents since the 1967 Six-Day War. Three Democrat presidents. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama. All three obsessively, viciously, brutally pressured Israel day and night. Did everything they could to get Israel to commit suicide, and with terrible results, with devastating results. Because of Jimmy Carter, Israel surrendered the entire Sinai, which was 75% of all of Israel. Jimmy Carter, now Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister of Israel, is a criminal and a traitor who was guilty of giving in to Carter's pressure and allowing Carter to work out this deal. But The negotiations had broken down between Israel and Egypt, and Israel could have kept the entire Sinai. There was a potential of that. But Jimmy Carter went to the Middle East and was vigorously involved in the negotiations and invited the two leaders, Egyptian Nazi dictator Anwar el-Sadat and Israeli traitor Menachem Begin, to Camp David for 2 weeks of day and night negotiations with Jimmy Carter as the mediator. I mean, obsessively pressuring Israel until he got the weak, cowardly Menachem Begin to give in, to cave in, and give the entire Sinai to Egypt, which was a disaster for Israel, a disaster. Okay, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa have come flooding into Israel because of the fact that Israel surrendered the Sinai. If Israel had the Sinai as a buffer, that wouldn't have happened. But because the Sinai was handed over to Egypt, Egypt opened the floodgates and allowed all these, they call them refugees, all these illegal alien invaders from African countries, most of whom are black Muslim Nazis, to come flooding into Israel and destroy Israeli cities and devastate Israel socially, economically, and every other way. If this has been a catastrophe for Israel, the Sinai retreat. If Israel had kept the Sinai, Israel would be in a much stronger position now in every way. In every way. Israel, first of all, would have been, for more than 30 years now, Israel would have been earning billions of dollars every year exporting oil, because the Sinai has huge oil fields that Israelis discovered and handed over to Egypt and gave all the money and all the benefits and all the oil fields to Egypt. And Israel became 100% dependent on foreign oil when Israel did that. Israel would have been a net exporter of large amounts of oil, and the Israeli economy would have been booming beyond any comparison to what we see today, if Israel had not retreated from the Sinai. That was the Likud government, the Menachem Begin, that did that insane surrender. But Jimmy Carter, he pushed frantically, fanatically, obsessively to get this done. And because Israeli prime ministers are so terrified of what every American president, even the American president, what is the American president going to do? Cut off aid to Israel? The so-called U.S. foreign aid to Israel hurts Israel militarily, economically, and otherwise. The best favor you could do for Israel is to cut off the so-called foreign aid. It's only 3% of Israel's budget, and it has devastating effects on Israel in every way. It's very bad. We've done other programs explaining why. But the insane, ghetto-minded, cowardly Israeli prime ministers, all of them, are so terrified of what an American president, when an American president pressures Israel, that they almost always give in. And so when Jimmy Carter obsessively pressured Israel to surrender the entire Sinai, he got Israel to surrender the entire Sinai, and he set the stage now for further surrenders and retreats that place Israel's very existence in grave jeopardy. That was Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater, the Nazi. And he is a Nazi. Why do I say he's a Nazi? Anyone that wants Israel to be destroyed is a protagonist for the new Holocaust, for the new genocide against the Jewish people, against 6 million Israeli Jews, another 6 million, okay, would perish, God forbid. And these people, Jimmy Carter wants Israel destroyed. He wants the Arabs to overrun Israel, wants Israel destroyed. He did everything he could to undermine Israel's struggle to survive. This Nazi pig wants Israel destroyed. And the same thing with Bill Clinton and another enemy of Israel, and obsessively pressuring Israel and trying to get Israel to accept a deal like this with the PLO terrorist Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who murdered thousands of Israeli Jews, and Bill Clinton obsessively pressuring Israel to accept a deal with Arafat, and obsessively pushing the Oslo agreements. That was Bill Clinton. The second Democrat president, we had Jimmy Carter, we had Bill Clinton, and then Barack Hussein Obama, again trying the same thing. Barack Hussein Obama got Pee-Pee, that cowardly pig, to accept a complete freeze on all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Israel's capital. And that freeze has been in effect now for a whole decade. That started under Barack Hussein Obama. He got Pee-Pee to do this. Not that Pee-Pee has ever, he's always been an enemy of Jewish settlements. He's always been an enemy of the Jewish pioneers in Judea and Samaria, because he's a filthy, cowardly Jewish traitor. But he went along with this. He used Obama's relentless pressure as the excuse he needed to be able to impose this terrible freeze that has existed for a whole decade now, for 10 years now, on all new Israeli communities and new Israeli building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Israel's capital. If not for that, there would be enough Jews living in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria now so that there'd be no chance of creating a Palestinian state. You'd have so many Jews living there, it would be impractical to even speak about that. And remember, creating a so-called Palestinian state, and there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, it's a historical hoax, a lie, but creating a so-called state is national suicide for Israel. That would be absolute suicide for Israel, absolute insanity. Now, Pepe imposed this settlement freeze again under Obama. Obama was the third Democrat president since the end of the 1967 Six-Day War. So since 1967, we've had three Democrat presidents. All three did the same thing. All three relentlessly, obsessively, viciously, brutally pressuring Israel to commit suicide throughout their entire administrations with no relief. Constantly keeping the pressure on Israel, constantly trying to get Israel to commit suicide with devastating results. And if we have another president like this, like Joe Biden, God forbid, if he wins, or Bernie Sanders, if they get in the White House and do this, the danger of Israel going back to those pre-67 borders, giving in to that pressure, the danger of that happening is very, very real. And that could lead to a Holocaust. It could lead to another Holocaust, God forbid. And that's just one issue involving Israel. Another issue involving Israel is the Iran nuclear danger. Iran is building nuclear bombs with the intention of committing a nuclear holocaust against the Jews of Israel. And the Iranian nuclear program, if Iran builds nuclear bombs, then Saudi Arabia and all these other, Egypt, Turkey, all these other Muslim Nazi countries will also want to build nuclear bombs. Israel will be surrounded by dozens of Muslim countries with nuclear bombs. I mean, what will that lead to? What do you think that will lead to, knowing the history of Islam and then knowing the history of these Islamic dictators and how crazy they are? What do you think that would lead to eventually if dozens of these Islamic dictators all had nuclear bombs in their hands? And these are countries that are all sponsors, of course, of the worst type of Islamic international terrorism. So this is another tremendous danger, Iran. Donald Trump, again, has not been good on Iran either. Within one day, he could send in the U.S. Air Force. Not a single American troop has to be ground troop has to be sent into Iran just from the air. The American Air Force, or even offshore, he can fire missiles from offshore in the Persian Gulf and send in U.S. fighter bombers, and in one day destroy Iran's nuclear bomb making program, the way Israel did in Syria, and the way Israel did in Iraq. The United States easily could do that to Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, including their underground facilities. The United States has bunker-busting bombs that can easily destroy Iran's underground facilities. That would be the end of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. They don't have the money or the power or the resources to start spending a couple of $100 billion on rebuilding. Their economy has been devastated by sanctions and by all the other crazy things they've done. And so they don't have the ability to restart an effective nuclear program, and it would take them at least 10 years to get back to where they are now. This would be a death blow to their nuclear program if militarily Israel or the United States destroyed their nuclear bombing program. Of course, the coward Bibi should be doing this. The Israeli Air Force should do it, but he's not going to do it, and neither is Trump. And Trump also should do it because it's a tremendous danger to the United States. While they're building these nuclear bombs, the millions of them are holding demonstrations chanting death to America. What do you think their intention is going to be? So this is a tremendous danger. Trump is not, he doesn't have the guts and he doesn't have the brains to send in the U.S. Air Force and take care of this problem. But he did pull out of the Iran nuclear, the disastrous Iran nuclear agreement of Barack Hussein Obama. And he is imposing tougher sanctions on Iran. In that respect, the Democrats are worse than Trump. Trump is bad on Iran, but the Democrats are much worse than he is, because the Democrats will lift sanctions. The Democrats will give Iran a reward of $50 billion. That's what Obama was doing. He was giving them $50 billion reward for entering into an agreement on nuclear bombs that enables them to build nuclear bombs. I mean, a catastrophic agreement that Obama initiated with Iran that keeps the Iranian regime alive and floating and in power, and that enables them to continue full speed ahead in building nuclear bombs and building a nuclear arsenal that endangers the whole world. So the Democrats and Obama, Joe Biden has already said he wants to re-enter the disastrous Obama-Iran nuclear bomb-making agreement, which enables Iran to build nuclear bombs and rewards them and gives them tens of billions of dollars in addition to that. And Biden was a major part of those negotiations that produced that terrible, disastrous nightmare agreement. And Biden has said that he will re-enter that agreement with the Iranians. So he is far worse than Trump. Trump is bad, but he's far worse than Trump. And so if we're concerned about the survival of Israel and the Jewish people, we have no choice. As much as we don't like Donald Trump, and we don't, but we have no choice but to support his re-election and to do everything we can to defeat the Democrats, and it looks like it's going to be Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden is you can't describe the unbelievable nonsense that comes out of his mouth. For instance, in the last debate, he said that 150 million Americans have been killed by gun violence in the United States. 150 million Americans in his speech to take away Second Amendment rights, because he wants to eliminate the Second Amendment, and he wants to steal everybody's guns and seize everybody's guns and take away everybody's basic constitutional rights. So he said 150 million Americans have been killed by gun violence. 150 million Americans. The population of the United States is 330 million. So half of the United States has been killed by gun violence, according to Joe Biden. I mean, this guy, the things he comes up with. He said he was running for the United States Senate because he got confused whether he's running for the Senate or for president. He said he mixes every state up, no matter what state he's in, he mixes every state up. This is the guy that always tells people, stand up and let's applaud him. He saw a man in a wheelchair, and he told the man in a wheelchair one time while he was making a speech, stand up, he was telling the guy in the wheelchair, stand up. I mean, he is such a pathetic embarrassment. And the media covers up for him, and you saw the media swarming around him you know what swarms around excrement. You've never seen flies swarming around excrement, and he is excrement, Joe Biden. He's evil, immoral, opportunist, egomaniac, complete fraud, corrupt to the core. He and his whole family are corrupt. They're milking millions of dollars off of the fact that he was vice president. They made deals with Ukraine and China, and I mean they make Donald Trump look honest, and that's not easy to do. Donald Trump is not honest. Donald Trump is a corrupt president, but they're so corrupt they make Donald Trump look honest. And so we don't have any choice here. We can't afford the danger of having someone like that in the White House, and so we've got to do everything we can to defeat him. By the way, you had elections for the Israeli Knesset. The Knesset is the Israeli parliament, also this past week. And once again, you have an indecisive result, and who knows what's coming next. We want the Likud government out, because in Israel, the phony right, which is the Likud, is worse than the open left. The phony right, that's not true in the United States for those of us that are pro-Israel. United States, generally speaking, the open left is the Democrats are worse than the phony right. The phony right are the Republicans in the United States. They are phony right. They're not real conservatives. And the open left are the Democrats. In America, the Democrats are worse than the Republicans. But in Israel, it's just, you have to have the political wisdom to figure out from history which is worse, which is better. You've got to be able to make these calculations based on history, based on facts. And there is no question that historically speaking, the Likud and the phony right have done far more damage to Israel than the open left. When the open left is in power in Israel, they want to make concessions. They want to create a so-called Palestinian state. They want to do all these things, but they are unable to because the majority of the Israeli public panics when a left-wing prime minister offers to make the type of retreats that Menachem Begin and Bibi and Arik Sharon and other phony right Likud politicians have done. The open left could never have done the expulsion from Gush Katif where 10,000 Jews were thrown out of their homes. The open left in Israel were never even proposed surrendering the entire Sinai as Menachem Begin did when he was prime minister under a Likud government. The open left in Israel never had a complete freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem as Bibi Netanyahu has had for the past 10 years. They never had it. They never get away with it. So we would rather have, we want Bibi out. We want him brought down. We want him out. He is dangerous. He is worse. He can sell a suicidal agreement to the Israeli public because the Israeli public says if Bibi proposes something suicidal, they say, well, if the right wing Netanyahu proposes it, it can't be that bad. That's what makes Netanyahu so dangerous because he's not right wing. He's a complete fraud and a coward and a disaster. And it shows what type of generation we are that people think of him as a hawk or a right winger when he's the worst catastrophe for Israel. So we want him brought down. I don't know what's going to be, but I do know that our movement in Israel has played a role in keeping down the vote for the phony right. I mean, look at what JTF. Now I don't know if it was because of JTF, but you never know. We might have contributed somewhat to it. We have hundreds of thousands of people have gone to our videos where we say the phony right is worse than the left, where we say the Likud have surrendered over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 war have taken place under Likud governments, under the phony right governments. This is the message we're giving people. Hundreds of thousands of Jews have seen our videos. Hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews have seen our videos saying these things, giving this message, transmitting this message. And surely enough, Bibi and the phony right got only 58 seats. They needed 61. They got 58 seats. In fact, even with 60, they would have been okay. 60 out of 120. 60 out of 120, they would have had half the seats in the Knesset. That would have been okay to avoid no confidence votes and to form a government. By two seats, they came short. By two seats. Okay? And we've been, again, hundreds of thousands of views on our videos where we have told the truth to the people of Israel about the phony right. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis have been exposed to this message. So who knows? We may have played a role in preventing Bibi in the past three elections, because you've had three elections already in the past year there. We may have played a role in, somewhat of a role, in preventing them from achieving the 60 seats. Instead, they got 58 seats. We may have done that. When it's close like this, that's when JTF can make a difference. And JTF's Hebrew videos have gotten the attention of people and do make a difference. So if we help bring down the Likud government and help bring in a government that is too weak and unable to make these types of suicidal concessions, we will have done something very important in Jewish history, if that's true. And again, I don't know, by the way. I'm not sure that we had that type of influence on the election. I don't know, but I'm just throwing out, it's possible, because hundreds of thousands of people see our videos where we make this argument, and I think it's a persuasive argument. It's certainly factually correct, historically and factually correct. Who knows? Maybe we had something to do with the fact that they were unable to get the 60 seats, they only got 58 seats. Who knows? Who knows? At the very least, we're certainly bringing truth to many Israeli Jews that would not get that truth. The only people that say the type of things you're hearing on this program to the Jews of Israel, we're the only ones that say this. The only ones. So that's what we're doing in Israel. We have an advertising campaign with our Hebrew videos, and we're pushing this message to save Israel from their own leaders, from their own insane leaders. That's what we're doing in Israel. In the United States, we're not going to spend money from our budget. Our budget, all of our 100% of our budget goes to Israel and the Israeli videos. But in the United States, we will upload videos and launch a campaign to prevent Joe Biden from getting elected and to help re-elect Donald Trump as a lesser of the evils. We will launch a campaign on Trump's behalf because of what's at stake. And you never know. In a close election, you never know. Maybe we'll play a role here too. Remember, in the 2000 election, several hundred votes made George W. Bush the president instead of Al Gore. Several hundred votes in Florida. If Gore had gotten 200 or 300 more, I don't remember if it was 200 or 300 or 400 votes more, that would have tipped the election in Gore's favor, and Al Gore and his evil Judenrat, capo, self-hating Jewish vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman would have been in the White House, and it would have been catastrophic. So, in a close race, you never know. JTF can have an impact sometimes in a close race, in a presidential election, if it's really, really close as well. You never know. We're going to continue pushing for what's right and standing up for what's right. Because Chazal, our great rabbinic scholars who gave us the Talmud and who gave us the Midrashim, they teach us that once the Jews return after the long exile, which was 2,000 years, to the land of Israel, we have Jewish sovereignty again, and the fruits in Israel, we have fruit that is, Israel was so barren 150, 200 years ago when Mark Twain visited, when other people visited. There's so many accounts of how barren Israel was. Mark Twain said he didn't even see cactus plants, which you see in the desert. Even that he didn't see. It was so barren. It was desolate, barren. Nothing was there. And all of a sudden, miraculously, the Jews come back. And now, look at the fulfillment, the biblical prophecy, it's so astonishing. The fruit in Israel and the fruits and vegetables in Israel are so good, are so high quality, that the Jew-hating Nazi BDS movement, even the Nazi BDS movement, they asked the question, well, how can we tell? We want to boycott Israel, but we see Israeli fruits and vegetables being sold in the produce section, and you've got fruits and vegetables from other countries. How do we know that they're from Israel? How can you tell? The BDS movement sent out instructions saying the way you can tell is the Israeli fruits and vegetables are higher quality than all the other countries. Our worst enemies give us that compliment, that the best fruits and vegetables, the most luscious, the sweetest, the most delicious, the juiciest, the best fruits and vegetables are from Israel. This is from the country that couldn't produce even cactus plants like a desert produces 150, 200 years ago. The deserts shall flourish like a garden again, and the desolate city shall become habitable again, and 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, and 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight. So, great things are going to come eventually. I don't know if we're going to live to see the final redemption, but great things are going to come eventually. In the meantime, we've got to speak and raise our voices and stand for truth and dissent against evil and be witnesses against evil and be witnesses for the truth. Even in a generation of complete darkness, we've got to be that little light that never stops shining for the truth. That's what we've got to do. That's the role we play. That's why you're in this world. You're in this world to be a light in the darkness so that the Jews can return to their rightful role as a light among the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests until the final redemption comes and until the great things that the prophets promise us in the Bible become the eternal destiny of all of humanity. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.